Welcome into the show. It is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon. Vanderbilt's lead is now 6-2.
Maybe 6-3.
6-3. It is 6-3 in the bottom of the seventh. So Vandy had built a 6-0 lead. It is now 6-3 over Mississippi State. We will keep you updated as that game is in the bottom of the seventh. All right, Floyd. Adam Rank, we played the audio yesterday, and it's, you know, this was the first time you had ever heard of Adam Rank of the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Of him breaking down the Titans' schedule game by game, week by week, and saying the Titans will go 3-13.
And like I said afterwards, I'm glad I hadn't heard of him.
Well, there you go. So a lot of people have been outraged on Twitter or just giving him you-know-what on Twitter of how in the world can you do that and say the Titans are going to be 3-13. Like I said yesterday, the only teams that go 3-13 are teams that are ravaged by a ton of injuries, especially at quarterback, or teams that just flat-out suck. And unless Marcus Mariota and others go down for a long period of time this season, I cannot see the Tennessee Titans even coming remotely close to 3-13.
And I would agree. I mean, I don't think unless it just gets they get blown up, you know, where a whole side of the ball gets wiped out, then you know you got a problem. But other than that, I mean, they're accidentally a better team than that.
All right, so let's go. Let's the two of us go week by week with the Tennessee Titans 2019 schedule. Okay.
Okay.
And provide a lot more, I guess you could say, analysis than Adam Rank ever gave in his 16 game breakdown for the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
All right. Week one at the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans will be taking on Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, and that new look Browns offense. The Titans are 9-5 all time against the Browns, but they seem to struggle a little bit at Cleveland.
I'm going to go with the Titans. And this game does scare me because Cleveland is a hard place to play. You know, when they're cranked up, and they're going to be cranked up because they think they're going to the playoffs. But I think our defense is going to really, really play well against these guys. A young quarterback against this defense is going to struggle. And I think our secondary, we've talked all along about it being a strength of this defense, even though they've got a couple of receivers that are top-of-the-line receivers. I mean, I think, you know, our secondary is going to have a chance to play well against them. So I would say we squeak that one out.
I'm going to say a loss week one at Cleveland. I would rather play Cleveland in week two when they're not all jazzed up with that new coaching staff, all these star players.
Oh, they'll be out of their minds.
I'd rather play Cleveland in week two than week one when they're all jazzed up. All right. Week two, home opener against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, your track record against Andrew Luck has been god-awful. Andrew Luck is 11-0 in his career against the Titans, and the Titans are 4-23 against the Colts since 2003.
Wow.
So, Floyd, you have the Titans at 1-0 at this point. Are they 2-0 or 1-1?
You know what? If they're ever going to beat them, and beat Luck.
If there's ever a time,
it's got to be now. You got them at home. It's at our place, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They're retiring 9-27 that day.
They're retiring the jerseys. We just beat Cleveland. If we beat Indy after beating Cleveland, it will be a big, big start. I mean, we will be on fire.
You're going with a win?
I'm going to go with a win.
I'm going with a win, too. I think they get the monkey off their back against Andrew Luck and the Colts in week two.
Woo!
Like you said, if there was ever a time. All right, week three, Thursday night football at Jacksonville. The Titans have had Jacksonville's number in recent years. They've won 4 in a row and 6 of 7 overall.
You know, I'm going to say we're going to split and that they will get this one.
Okay. That's fair. So a loss in week three, Thursday night football at Jacksonville.
Loss. I think they're going to be – Jacksonville will be pumped.
I'm going to say the Titans win that game. and continue their domination of the Jaguars.
That'd be great.
Week four, the Titans close out September at Atlanta, dipping into the NFC South pool. Now, last year, the Titans dominated the NFC division that they played, which was the NFC East, winning all four games.
You know, again, this will be a hard one, but I'm going to say we're going to squeak this one out. And again, because of the defense. I think we'll go in there. I think we'll be able to run the ball effectively. They are good, and they are really mobile on defense, but they are not big thumpers. And this may be a game that Derrick Henry can go in there and win for us.
I think this is a coin flip game in the Titans' schedule, and that they come out at the wrong end of this one.
Okay.
That Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have a good day. So I have the Titans at 2-2 through four games. You have them at 3-1.
Wow.
Okay. Week five.
Man, we're on fire.
Week five, Bills Mafia coming to Music City. The Titans are 6-3 all time against the Bills.
Gotta win it. Gotta win it, period. I mean, they're gonna be improved, but so are we. We got them at home. We keep messing around with teams that we need to beat. This is a need to win game.
Wasn't the last time Buffalo came into Nashville the time where Tyrod Taylor on that 3rd and 25 scrambled for a first down in an ugly game? It was like 13-7 type game.
Awful game.
I agree with you. You got to win that game. I give the Titans the edge there as well. So Floyd, you've got the Titans at 4-1. Going into week six at Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos.
We are hot.
4-1.
I'm gonna say we don't get this one.
No?
Yep.
Why?
Their defense.
Okay. Think Von Miller gets to Marcus Mariota?
I think they'll put pressure on the quarterback, and it's gonna be a struggle.
Okay.
From that standpoint.
I think the Titans are better than the Broncos. I think the Broncos are trending downward. I'll go with the Titans in that game.
Okay.
So we both have the Titans at 4-2 through week six. Okay?
We'll take it.
Then you come back at home, big game against the LA Chargers.
Ah.
But the Titans all time against the Chargers are 1-10.
Yeah. I think the Chargers may be the best team in the AFC. And we can't, even though you'd love to figure out a way to win this, I'm just not sure we're good enough.
Okay. I agree. Chargers are too good for the Titans.
Chargers are good.
All right. Week eight at home against Tampa Bay. That's got to be a bounce back game, right?
Got to win it.
I mean.
Yep. It's similar to the Buffalo game. You know, you got to find a way. These are one of these games that, see, if you can win, if you can beat the Buffaloes and you beat the Tampas and you do that, and if, you know, God willing, you're lucky enough, you pull out a win against the Chargers or you pull. Now you are really on your way. You know, you've got a chance to have a great season. But it doesn't do you any good to beat the Chargers and lose to Tampa Bay.
So we both have the Titans at 5-3 through week eight. Week nine at Carolina.
You know, the NFC South concerns me. I mean, that's a good division.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty stout. I'm going to say we'll have a tough time with this one.
Especially if Cam Newton's healthy.
If Cam Newton's healthy.
The story's different if he's out.
And I think the way they play ball, it's going to be – we've talked about this before. This is going to be one of those, you know, 13-10, 13-14 kind of games. It's going to be tight.
I'm going to say a loss as well. So we both have them at 5-4. Coming back home, week 10 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, tough.
Now, last year against – primetime opponents at Nissan Stadium, the Titans were pretty darn good outside of week 17.
And I think, again, if you can beat those teams that we were talking about, then a win over Kansas City like this is fantastic. You know, now you're smoking. But I think it's going to be hard. Kansas City's got too much firepower for us.
I'm going to say the Titans squeak that one out.
Ooh.
They find a way to win that game.
Pretty nice.
So I have them at this point in the schedule at 6-4. You've got them at 5-5.
5-5. Okay.
Do we see the Titans getting to 10-6? Getting to 11-5 maybe? Or is it another 9-7 season for the Titans? Maybe 12-4. like Jared Stillman
maybe
would like to see.
Yes, he would.
We will continue this on the other side. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, last segment, we predicted a large bulk of the Titans season.
Yes.
And we are doing this because Adam Rank spent about 90 seconds on the Titans and said they are going to go 3-13. And it was clear that he didn't really put much thought into it at all.
I would say,
when
yes.
When he did it. When you listen to the audio, he's like, week six at Denver, they're going to win. No, they're going to lose that game. But they're going to turn around and beat the Chargers the next week because the Chargers are in a tough part in their schedule. Well, he had the Titans beating the Chargers, or he had the Titans, one of the Titans' three wins all season, being at home against, in your words, Floyd, the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense at all. So, at this point in the schedule, Floyd, we are through week 10. We have hit the Titans bye week. Floyd, you have the Titans at 5-5, coming off a loss to the Chiefs. I have the Titans at 6-4, coming off a win against the Chiefs.
Okay.
Okay? So week 12, at home, Jacksonville.
Got to win.
You got to, in your words, or in your world, 5-5, at home against Jacksonville. You lost to them on Thursday Night Football earlier in the year. You got to win.
Got to win this game. This is a must win. And they, I mean, they play well against Jacksonville. If there's anybody in the division, they've got the number of, it's Jacksonville.
I really think the Titans will sweep the Jags again.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So I'm giving the Titans a win and moving to 7-4 on the season.
And that's nice.
I would love to be 7-4 through the month of November. All right. Now we go to week 13 at the House of Horrors, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis. Week 13, Titans at Colts. We both had them beating the Colts in week 2 at home and getting the monkey off the back. Do the Colts respond there?
Yeah.
Pretty handily?
I don't like that game.
I don't like any game at Indianapolis.
No, they are so good, and they are so good up there.
Even if Curtis Painter is the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, I don't like games at Indy.
Amen. So I would say no, we're going to stumble there.
All right, so Thursday night, is it a Thursday night football game at Oakland? I don't think that's right. Week 14 at Oakland.
Got to win. This is the third one of those got-to-win games, and this is one of them.
And you're now in December. The Oakland Raiders are about to not be in Oakland anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So fan support can't be great in December, especially if they're losing, which we wouldn't expect them to be winning. We both have them winning that game. So you've got them at 2-1 after the bye week. So you've got them at 7-6 after the bye week through week 14.
Okay.
Okay. I've got them at 8-5. Week 15 at home against Houston.
Win.
Win?
Gotta win. We usually split with Houston. This year, we're gonna try something new.
Oh, maybe some foreshadowing here.
Yeah, I think Mike and his what he put together for the first game, especially the first game the last time we played him here. I mean, that was exceptional. So I think he's maybe got a little something on him. So
I'll take the Titans too in that game. Week 15 at home on December 15th. That could be a huge game in the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a monster game for the wild card.
Absolutely.
Assuming that Indianapolis is your division winner. So I've got the Titans at 9-5. You've got the Titans at 8-6 through week 15.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Week 16 at home against Drew Brees and the Saints.
Yep.
I don't like the look on your face, Floyd.
Gotta win.
So
by that time they'll have it locked up.
The Saints?
Yep.
So you're saying that game is going to mean a lot more to the Titans than
yes.
the Saints?
Yes. Much more. And I think we'll go in there and I think we'll run the ball and pound the ball and, you know, do some of those kinds of things. And again, the best part of that team is going against the best part of our team, which they're really, really good, but we're not bad.
You may have swayed my opinion on this game.
Yeah.
I initially had it as a loss for the Titans against the Saints, but you bring up a great point that the Saints may have everything locked up at that point.
Yeah, they'll be done.
But they may be going for home field in the NFC, which to them means a lot. Even though they lost the NFC Championship last year, I would venture to guess they want the NFC Championship at Superdome again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Titans dropped that one at home to the Saints.
Okay.
So we both have the Titans at 9-6 going into Week 17 at Houston.
Okay.
And who knows? This could be another win-and-you're-in type game, just like it was last year with the Houston Texans and the Titans both vying for that final wild card spot. I think I know where you're going with this one. Week 17 at Houston.
Got to. We win that one. And I don't know how, but we will.
Floyd Reese has the Tennessee Titans going 10-6 this year. Did you know that like has your thought always been that this team is going to go 10-6?
No. I really hadn't put a number to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I want to compete for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And this will get us in the playoffs. This will get us to be a wild card.
Do I hear a fourth consecutive 9-7 season? Four straight 9-7 seasons.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans have not won a game in Houston since January 1st, 2012. Ian, behind the glass, remind me, what was the situation at the end of that game, Week 17, at Houston?
That is, yes, T.J. Yates had to start the game for Houston. He was knocked out after he was 4-for-4, but he got knocked out, and Jake Delhomme had to come in and play. And Jake Delhomme scored. They scored a touchdown at the end of the game and went for two for the win and did not convert, and the Titans held on for a 23-22 victory over Jake Delhomme.
There you go.
Woof.
That's the script right there. That's what we're hoping for.
That is the last time the Titans have won a game in Houston. And the Texans would have just had the Titans number in the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, well, yeah.
For me, when a game has really mattered to both teams and it could be argued to be a statement game for both teams, it just seems like the Texans win every single time. Like, I know the Titans beat them in Week 2 at home last year without Marcus, and that was a great win. But that game mattered on Monday Night Football in November last year.
Right.
And the Texans whooped them. And the Titans went down there at the beginning of the 2017 season or the 2016 season, one of those two seasons, and got their doors blown off, like 57-14.
Worst game they've played in 3 years.
I'd have the Titans losing that one, going 9-7. So Floyd Reese has the Titans going 10-6 this year. I have them going 9-7 again. Neither of us have them going 3-13 like Adam Rank of the NFL Network.
Oh no, we'll compete. I mean, this is the stage that we're at. I think we got to find a way to get into the double digit wins to get us over the hump.
That would be nice.
Oh, it'd be nice.
Jeez. That would be fantastic.
Great.
If the Titans could do that. How do the Titans go about changing the narrative against the Indianapolis Colts? That is a big, big deal if the Titans do want to get over that hump. You got to get over the Colts at some point. How do the Titans go about it? We'll get into that next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios, it is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Want to go to this year's ESPYs? How about play in an Apex Legends Pro-Am event with two big names? Go to ebay.com/ESPN to donate for a chance to win. It all benefits the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to ebay.com/ESPN for more information. and complete rules. Also, by the end of today's show, we will give away not one, not two, but three pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater next Wednesday, 1 week from tonight. So stay tuned for that. Floyd, I asked you the question before the break. How do the Titans go about changing the narrative against the Indianapolis Colts? And it was a narrative that was front and center heading into week 17 against the Colts last year at home in the win and you're in game on Sunday Night Football. The fact that Andrew Luck was 10-0 in his career against the Titans, there was all that doubt about Marcus Mariota, or all the question about whether or not he was going to play. Comes out that morning that he wasn't going to play. Blaine Gabbert starts at quarterback, and the Colts, I would say, decisively won that game. I mean, the Titans made it interesting a couple times, but you never really felt like it was going to happen. But they kept it within arm's reach until about midway through the fourth quarter. And then the Colts did what they usually do to the Titans, and they just ran away. So the Titans are 4-23 against the Colts since 2003.
Wow.
4-23.
That's tough.
You want to know the four wins?
That's tough.
Here are the four wins. That can't be right. Here are some of the notable wins against the Colts since 2003. They had the Week 17 game with Jim Sorgi at quarterback back in 2007 when the Titans could win and they're in the playoffs with Vince Young at quarterback his second year, and they beat the Colts on the road. I think Peyton Manning played like the first series and then was done.
Okay.
So that was one of the wins. Another one was when Rob Baronis kicked a 60-yarder to beat him. And then 2008 at home against Monday Night, which was probably their biggest win against the Colts all time. I mean, outside of the playoff game back in 99 when you guys went up there and beat them in the second round, in the divisional round.
Right.
I mean, that was a statement win for the Tennessee Titans in their 13-3 season. Early on, to stay undefeated at home on a Monday night, they smoked them that night. And then they beat them in 2011 at home when Peyton Manning was hurt, but then they went back to Indy later that year and lost. And then they won the two games against the Colts without Andrew Luck a couple years ago. But it has been a titanic struggle for the Titans against the Colts. And you know that. So how do the Titans go about changing that narrative?
Well, I think it has to do with the same thing, which is, and it was true with Peyton, and it's true with this kid, is that we've tried playing man for man. We can't play man for man successfully because we can't run with Hilton, you know, primarily. Now, they brought in this, didn't they draft the little guy from the speedster from Ohio State?
Paris Campbell.
Yeah. I mean, and he can fly. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have two Hiltons running up and down the field. And so that eliminates man for man. If you play zone against this guy and against Luck, they will kill you with the tight ends. And we saw, you know, Ebron was on fire last year. And if you play zone, he'll be the same way again. I think what you have to do is you have to mix it up enough that they have absolutely no idea what you're doing. And Dean can do that. Dean can run some combination coverages and some coverages that'll look like zones that are really half zone, half man, and things like that. But the most important part is they've got to be able to put pressure on Luck with a four-man rush. And that's where we've, through the years, have failed. We haven't been able to put pressure on Manning with just a four-man rush, and we haven't been able to put pressure on Luck very much at all, but certainly with just a four-man rush.
So the actual number is 6-26 against the Colts since the start of 2003. Still not good.
Not good.
6-26. And here's a question that Ian had brought up earlier this week with the Titans and the Colts is, if you're the Titans front office, how much do you go about trying to beat the Colts and build your roster to beat the Colts rather than just building your roster overall. And if you know that the Colts are the one team in your way of winning the AFC South, how much do you go about trying to beat them and get past them when you build your roster?
Yeah, I mean, we always felt like if you beat the teams in your division, if you sweep the teams in your division, you're going to win the division about every year. And so we always felt like if we could sweep the teams in our division, that was going to make the difference. So we were always trying to figure out a way to beat the teams in division, because the other teams, you don't play often enough to ever catch up. You know, like you're the Raiders. Well, we want to put together a plan to beat the Raiders, or put together a personnel group to beat the Raiders. Well, you only play them once every, 3 years or whatever it is. So you may put it together, may work this year, but, a couple years from now, all those people that you just beat may be gone, and you got a whole new set. So you're kind of chasing, ghosts. And the thing that you count on all the time, and it's going to happen to you every year, is you're going to play these division teams. So you've got to figure out a way to beat them. And we tried to do that.
One worry that I have when you look at the AFC South just as a whole, as you look at the Colts with Andrew Luck, when you look at the Texans with Deshaun Watson, when you look at the Jags with Nick Foles, Nick Foles isn't an elite quarterback. He's nowhere near Luck and Watson, but he's a big upgrade over Blake Bortles. Do you have enough in the front seven, at least this season? I don't know how much of an impact Jeffrey Simmons can realistically make this year, coming off the injury that he suffered with back in the offseason before the draft. But do you have enough in the front seven to wreak havoc on those quarterbacks on a consistent basis in those games? And I would say probably not. I mean, Harold Landry would have to take a big step. Cameron Wake, at his age, would have to prove a lot to me to prove that he can still get to the quarterback on a consistent basis. Jarrell Casey is great, but he can only do so much.
Right. Here's kind of the way I look at it. With Jacksonville, If they're going to go out and try to win it with Foles, then you may sweep them. This is my opinion. So they are not putting pressure on Foles as a quarterback isn't as important as it is against Luck, because I'm not sure, if they are throwing the ball, it's all going to be quick stuff getting out, because the offensive line hasn't been one of their strengths, something they've had to be concerned about. And keep in mind, in my opinion, if they're going to win a bunch of games, it's going to be because they're running the ball. Mm-hmm. They are pounding the ball. And so that makes it hard on you. With Houston, putting pressure on Watson hasn't been as difficult as you think, because their offensive line has been in shambles too. But the single most important thing with Watson is to keep him contained. More important, as crazy as this sounds, as hitting him, because he is a tough guy. He can take the hits. When he's contained and you force him to throw from the pocket, he's a different guy now. He's not a real tall guy, not a real big guy. And if he gets forced to stay in that pocket with big bodies up front, I mean, it gets a little bit tough for him to see. He's not near as comfortable there. So I always felt like if you kept him in the pocket, contained, you were going to be okay from a pass rush standpoint. With Luck, we just can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line has been outstanding. Luck gets the ball out. He can move. He's, not necessarily going to be like Watson, pull it down and run great distances with it, but he'll pull it down and run and get 5 yards and get down, which is frustrating. But he's the one that, if you're going to affect a passing game, in my opinion, with the pass rush, it's got to be that guy. That's the one guy you've got to figure out a way to get to. And I don't know if we can.
Maybe Jeffrey Simmons can help with that. Yeah. When I thought about that pick, that was one of the first things I thought about, was getting pressure up the middle on Andrew Luck. Granted, he probably won't make an impact this year, but I think Simmons down the road could be one of those guys where really, you know, helps out.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree 1,000%, and I think that's right. You know, if you can get, if you've got outside rushers and you can get pressure up in his face, makes a world of difference. But we have got to find a way to get more pressure on him.
I mean, Ian brings a you bring up a great point, Ian, about Jeffrey Simmons, and that is why I'm concerned this year about getting to Andrew Luck and even Deshaun Watson. I know you say it's different with Watson because he's a different quarterback than Luck is, but I do have concerns just in general with this pass rush. But having said that, if you're looking ahead to 2020, and if a lot of this roster is still really good and Marcus Mariota takes a next step and you've got Jeffrey Simmons at full strength and you can find someone off the edge that can complement Harold Landry, you might be cooking with gas. You really might be cooking with gas with that defense.
Yep. And the defense, I mean, you've it's the number 8 ranked defense, number 3 scoring defense in the NFL. So it's not like you have a long way to go. It's not like, you know, you're talking about a guy or two here not giving up, you know, crazy plays somewhere along the line. And heck, you're maybe the best defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can play defense, you got a chance to beat anybody. I mean, I'm convinced of that. But I think it's I think you're right. I think if all those things start falling into place and you get another guy or two, now you may be, we were talking about being able to win double digit wins every year. I mean, you may be about that point.
Coming up next, we will get you caught up on everything that happened in the world of sports today, including Vanderbilt taking down Mississippi State. It is a final in Omaha, 6-3 against Mississippi State. But if you want to go see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater next Wednesday night, June 26th, you better be fast. The first 3 callers to call 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The first 3 callers will win a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater next Wednesday night, June 26th. It should be a lot of fun. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on everything else in the world of sports. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman alongside the GM Floyd Reese. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Fitting that Jordan Rogers is bringing us back, former Vanderbilt quarterback. Vanderbilt takes down Mississippi State at the College World Series in Omaha by a score of 6-3. Kumar Rocker getting the victory after pitching 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run allowed, and 6 strikeouts. So not quite a 19-strikeout no-hitter today against Mississippi State for Kumar Rocker, but Kumar Rocker rock solid for Vanderbilt today in their 6-3 win. And J.J. Bladé, 3-for-3 with an RBI double, and Steven Scott, 2-for-4 with 4 ribbies, 2 home runs.
Wow. They've had a batter. I mean, they hit the ball well, of course. But, I mean, they've had somebody step up to the plate and whack a couple out of the park each night.
Yeah, and to that point, it seems to be when you have a championship-level team, you have a good enough team where it's a different player every night contributing.
Yeah.
Not only in baseball, but any sport. When you have Austin Martin Sunday afternoon hitting 2 bombs against Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Providing all 3 runs. Drake Fellows having a great outing. Kumar Rocker today having a great outing. And then Steven Scott with 2 bombs and J.J. Bladé going 3-for-3 with a clutch RBI double. Vandy is now in the semifinals of the College World Series, and they will take on the winner of tomorrow night's Louisville-Mississippi State elimination game. So tomorrow
night, they're gonna have to play one of those 2 teams again.
Yep. Mississippi State and Louisville will play tomorrow night in an elimination game, at 7 o'clock.
Right.
Then Friday night, Vandy will take on the winner of that game and have two shots against that team to make it to the championship series.
Hmm.
So they'll either get another shot against Louisville, who they beat Sunday 3-1, or Mississippi State, who they beat 6-3 today.
Okay.
And on the other side of the bracket, Michigan is the team that won their first two games. They will play the winner of Florida State, Texas Tech. Florida State,
That's
Texas
tonight.
Tech is tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's your College World Series update. A lot of people thought today, the winner of today's game was in the driver's seat to win the national championship.
Yeah.
So big, big win for Vandy today. Another big piece of news in the world of sports today involves a certain NBA team to our west by about three and a half hours, depending on how fast you're driving. Mike Conley has been traded to the Utah Jazz for three players and two picks, including the 23rd overall pick tomorrow night in the NBA draft and a protected future first round pick, likely in 2022.
Jeez.
So the Grizzlies get Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, and two first-round picks for Mike Conley.
Wow. What a haul, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the two first-round picks, I couldn't tell you at what stage of Kyle Korver's career he is. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't watch a whole lot of Utah Jazz basketball. So, I mean, Kyle Korver, over the course of his career, has been one of those clutch bench guys where he can really stroke it from three.
Yeah.
This year he averaged 8.6 points per game between Cleveland and Utah. So I don't know how much you're getting out of him. Jay Crowder has been a serviceable to above average player for a while. Grayson Allen was probably the most hated person in basketball a few years ago when he was at Duke, when he was flopping everywhere.
Yeah, and, that's right. A lot of discussion about that.
So they get those three guys, the 23rd overall pick tomorrow night, and likely a first-round pick in 2022.
Mm.
So Mike Conley, a great era of Grizzlies basketball. And I know a great era might be stretching it with the fact that the Grizzlies never got past the second round. Or they did make it to the conference finals one year. But Conley, gone. Gasol, gone. And to Toronto, wins a championship there. Zach Randolph, no longer with the Grizzlies. Those were the big three, Randolph, Gasol, and Conley, and none of them are there anymore. So a new era of Grizzlies basketball going into place next year.
Starting all over.
And probably getting Ja Morant.
Pretty good starting block.
With the second overall pick tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Speaking of the draft, we know Friday night is the NHL draft in Vancouver. 2020, it will be in Montreal.
For the 27th time.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's ridiculous. You mean 27th? Yeah, 27th time.
That's about how many Stanley Cups they have, it seems like.
That's right.
So back in 2009 was the last time that Montreal hosted a draft. And the last time Nashville hosted one was 2003. It's about time the NHL brings that back to Nashville.
We're ready.
Bring it.
Bring it on.
We are locked and loaded and ready to host another draft.
We'll give you a show like you ain't ever seen.
So hopefully the 2021 draft can be here in Nashville. The NHL awards are tonight in Vegas. I don't know if you've seen this. Actually, I told you about this story during a break earlier. LaVar Ball has been condemned by ESPN for his comments that he made to Molly Karam on the show on, I believe it was First Take earlier this week. And ESPN is saying no more LaVar Ball on their air.
I'm all for it. It's better for basketball. It's better for
society.
His sons. It's better for the world.
It's better for the world that LaVar Ball is never heard from by the media. Also, before we get out of here today, the producer behind the glass has a pretty big life moment going on.
Yes, he does.
A huge life moment going on. He won't be around for the next couple weeks because his better half is about to go into labor. And Ian Safar is about to be a dad.
Going to the hospital tonight.
Thank you for the nice words. Yeah. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking all at the same time. But I'm looking forward to it, and I know Nicole will knock it out of the park. So
you are going to be an awesome dad.
I appreciate it. That part I'm okay with. It's this part of actually getting the baby here that worries me the most.
Yes, sir. I can appreciate that.
I can't speak from experience yet on this matter, but I'm sure you'll be fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate everybody's help around here and all the good words. It's been really supporting, and it's been nice to see. So thank you.
Enjoy.
Our little Ian is growing up
good
here.
Luck. Yeah.
I mean, I remember about 4 years ago when I was on that board producing the afternoon show.
Yeah.
And Ian was my intern. And Ian was one of the best interns I've ever had.
I'll be darned.
When I was producing the afternoon show. So the other one is Josh Upton,
said, don't forget
also behind the glass.
Josh just happened to be
two of the best interns I've ever had on the board for the afternoon
That's
show.
That's great.
So best of luck, Ian.
Appreciate it, guys, for real. Thank you.
Best Good wishes luck. On all that late tonight and into tomorrow. So for Floyd Reese, I'm Ryan Poore. Tomorrow, Jared Stillman will be back.
Yes, thanks
fella.
For your help.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun the last few days.
This yeah. It's been good.
So tomorrow we'll have more coverage of Vandy Mississippi State on all of our shows. Plus, coming up next, it is Slapshot Radio with Paul McCann and Company. Stay tuned.